So today, very auspicious day for us. However, attendance is very less. Devotees seem to be preoccupied with some other activities. Because there's many things to cover today's verse, I'm not going to do that. I'm just going to begin. And who knows what auspicious day today is? How about you? What does that mean?
I don't know. I know it's the full moon. I don't know.
Yes, and who was Vishwarup? Not such an easy thing. Who is Vishwarup?
Isn't he the brother of Vishwarup?
No. Oh boy, I'm ashamed of all of you boys. Chanting and dancing, right?
I know today's appearance of Sanyasa Prabhupada.
It's Lord Chaitanya's older brother.
Oh,
Vishwarup. My gosh, this is ABC. So you boys remember this. And what happened on this day for Vishwarup? He took sannyas also. So it's, if probable, on an auspicious day like when Srila Prabhupada took his sannyas, if there is an auspicious occasion that happened on that day, it makes a much more significance to Srila Prabhupada's initiation. So I'm going to read and paraphrase conversation between Damodar Pandit and Murari Gupta. Now you know who these personalities are? Right, okay, so we know something, so thank God for that, you know. It may save you in a very precarious time of your life. So this is a conversation between these two personalities. So Damodar Pandit asked Murari Gupta, "Where has Vishwarup, Nimai's elder brother, gone?" Murari replied, "Listen to me, great Pandit Damodar. I will tell you whatever I know. Vishvambara, the abode of good qualities, quickly learned all of the scriptures. He's expert in all Brahminical duties. He affectionately serves his parents. He is fully conversant with Vedanta, the essence of all religion. He does nothing but devotional service to Lord Vishnu. He is dear to everyone. He has achieved all perfections, yet within his heart he stays completely detached and fixed in the absolute truth. Vishwarup, the son of Jagannath Mishra and, the son of Jagannath Mishra, held the Shastras in his left hand and discussed Krishna Katha with his classmate. One day while walking home, Jagannath Mishra saw this and thought, now my young beautiful son is 18 years old and ready for marriage. I should make arrangements for Vishwarup's marriage. Noticing his father's meditative mood, Vishwarup thought, it seems my father is thinking about my marriage, but I shouldn't get married. Of course, this might upset my mother. So the next day at dawn, Vishwaroop clasped his manuscripts and he left home forever. He swam across the Ganges and then and there he took sannyas. At midday, there was still no sign of Vishwaroop. Jagannath Mishra and, who is Lord Chaitanya's mother?
Mother Sachimata.
Sachidev heard this and they both fainted unconscious on the ground. The three worlds appeared full of darkness. Sachidev cried out, "Oh my son Vishwaroop, come home. I want to see you. Why did you leave everything? How will your beautiful, delicate body and tender feet tolerate the hardships of walking far and wide? You cannot tolerate the slightest pain, even for a moment. To whom will you present all your uncomforts and your demands? When you were studying, you couldn't concentrate on your lessons. I cannot go anywhere without thinking of you. When I take bath, my mind is disturbed with the thought that you may return home at any time. When I hear your calling, Mother, I forget everything else, for that sound is my greatest treasure. Seeing your sweet face, I no longer think of myself. I don't know what kind of suffering has caused you to neglect me and accept sannyas. Oh, my husband, go search for Vishwaroop and bring him back to me. Let the people say whatever they want, but bring him home, bring my son back, and I shall perform his sacred thread ceremony." Trying to pacify his bereaved wife, Jagannath Mishra said, "Please listen, Sachidev, don't lament. The whole material existence is false like a dream. Your son, Vishwaroop, is a great personality. By accepting sannyas at such an early age..." How old was he? 18.
Oh, Vishwaroop.
Vishwaroop, yes. He was younger than Lord Chaitanya. "Please bless him so he can remain fixed in his sannyas vow and progress steadily on the path of devotional service. Don't lament for his welfare. If a member of your family takes sannyas, he benefits many generations of that family. So, our son has done a wonderful thing." Damodar, in this way, Jagannath Mishra and Sachidev consoled each other. And this concludes the story of Vishwaroop taking sannyas. What was his sannyas name? Shankarayan Yaman.
What was it?
Shankarayana.
Shankarayana
was his name. So, on this day also, Srila Prabhupada accepted the renounced order of life. So the circumstances or events that lead up to this are quite astounding. So what had happened was that Srila Prabhupada had an unusual dream. So at this time he was grihastha and he was engaged in taking care of his family and his business. But in this dream, his Guru Maharaj, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta, appeared before him, and Bhaktisiddhanta Goswami was beckoning Srila Prabhupada to leave home and take sannyas. So there are many times that we have experience dreams, and in most cases dreams are just a figment of some illusionary fantasy that is manifesting itself in our brains, but sometimes there is important information or knowledge that is conveyed to us through your dreams. So don't discard all of these dreams. So if you see something like this in your dream, what should you do? You have to fulfill. If your Guru Maharaj appears to you in your dream and tells you to straighten up and become serious, what should you do? Straighten up and become serious. So when Prabhupada woke from this dreaming state, he was thinking, how horrible this is. What a terrible thing. You know, he says, he knew that it wasn't an ordinary dream, but this request that his Guru Maharaj had made to him, it seemed so difficult and unlikely for him to carry out. Taking sannyas, he thought, I couldn't do this immediately. No, I have to improve my business, and with the profits from my business, what would Prabhupada do? He would print his books. In 1948, Srila Prabhupada's business in Lucknow, he closed it because through all of his efforts, he was unsuccessful in fulfilling his desire to make money through means of producing medicine. So Srila Prabhupada is speaking now, and he said, I started a big factory in Lucknow. Those were golden days. My business flourished like anything. Everyone in the chemical business knew him. But then gradually everything dwindled and disappeared. So with a few acquaintances and help from them in Allahabad, he opened a small factory there where his business 15 years earlier had failed. So he brought with him his son, Vrindavan Das, and he began to manufacture his medicines again. And his family, his wife, and how many kids did he have? He had 5 kids. So he left them. Where did Prabhupada live in Calcutta? From a Bengali boy? Banerjee Road. So he lived on Banerjee Road. And so his family remained there, and he became a traveling salesman, traveling here and there, and would stay away from home for months at a time, trying to prosper and make his business grow. But one night again, he had a second dream. And again, his Guru Maharaj, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati, was beckoning him and indicating that now you must take sannyas. And again, Srila Prabhupada didn't take heed to his guru's instructions to the dream and put them aside. He was thinking, I am a householder. You know, I have many responsibilities. To take sannyas would mean to give up everything. I have to earn money. How will I support my 5 children? Why is Guru Maharaj asking me to take sannyas? And so again, he thought it was not possible. I cannot do this. I cannot follow my Guru Maharaj's orders. And so what was he doing? He was putting his wishes and his desires before his Guru Maharaj. And that's a no-no. Don't do that. Your Guru Maharaj has got the best wishes and interest in you. So through his efforts and his endeavors in Allahabad, what happened? His business was unsuccessful and he closed down that business. He had a servant whose name was Goranga in Calcutta, and he wanted to come and join Srila Prabhupada, but Srila Prabhupada says, well, if business gets better in the future, I will send for you and you can assist him. But the important thing to remember is that through all of these changes in Srila Prabhupada's life, his vision was mature, and it was always focused in a clear manner on instructions from the Shastra and instructions from his Guru Maharaj. So he remembered lectures that he had attended by his Guru Maharaj, and this verse from the Srimad Bhagavatam we know, we've heard many times. Krishna is speaking. He says, when I especially feel merciful towards someone, I will take away all of his material possessions. And his friends and relatives will then reject this poverty-stricken and most wretched fellow. So, how many of you have experienced that? How many of you, Krishna has taken everything away? Everything. Did you get angry at Krishna? Yes. Why? Because what types of people surrender to Krishna?
Inquisitive,
those who desire money, the distressed. Yeah, well, the order is a little different. So those that are materially distressed?
Inquisitive.
Those that are in search of wealth, those who are inquisitive, and from Shastra, can you give me examples of these people?
Shastra.
Well, you don't think they just give it to us without having evidence from Shastra? Bali Maharaj, yes, he surrendered everything. But according to materially distressed is who? Gajendra. Why? He was being attacked by a crocodile. And what did he do?
Surrendered.
Yes. And someone in search of wealth?
Sudama.
Sudama didn't want any wealth. He told, no, no. Dhruva Maharaj. What did he do? He got off of the lap of his father and said, I'm going to go get riches more than my father. Right? And who was inquisitive? No. The sages of Naimisharanga. Why did they do, why were they inquisitive? What did they want to do? They wanted to stop the progress of Kali Yuga. And they consoled amongst themselves what was the best way to do, and their conclusion was to hear Srimad Bhagavatam. Right? And those that are in search of knowledge of the Absolute Truth, who? The four Kumaras. So what did they do? They went right up to... No, not Vijay and Vijay. They went right up to Lord Vishnu's door and said, you instruct us, tell us. So in this way, Srila Prabhupada was aware of this. Okay, now... Krishna has taken everything away from me. My intentions for business have been decreasing, but my willingness to preach and spread the mission of Lord Chaitanya began to manifest itself more and more and more. We know from this point, Srila Prabhupada gave up all of his business activities and began concentrating more on writing his literature and preparing himself. Because what was Bhaktisiddhanta's instructions to Srila Prabhupada? To preach in English to Westerners. So Srila Prabhupada made this his life's mission, his goal. So now Srila Prabhupada had no choice but had to carry out the wishes of his Guru Maharaj. And he must take sannyas and begin preaching. So sannyasis, you don't have to be a sannyasi to preach, but there's an identifying charisma with the danda, the saffron cloth. So this is an implement which intensifies your ability to preach. But Srila Prabhupada knew that he couldn't just take sannyas willy-nilly. What did he have to do? No. He had to first get permission from his godbrothers. It's not like you can decide, tomorrow I'm going to take sannyas and then make a danda and walk around. No, he had to get permission from his godbrothers. And who did Srila Prabhupada first approach? So he approached Bhakti Tirtha. No, Bhakti Tirtha Maharaj. So at that time, he was in charge of Chaitanya Mat in Calcutta, and that was the primary temple of the Gaudiya Sampradaya at that time, and he was in charge. And so Prabhupada wrote to him and made a request. So Bhakti Tirtha Maharaj was before his sannyas Kunja Bihari Das. But when Srila Prabhupada thought that it's best to go to the person in charge, but at this time the Gaudiya Mat was going through turmoil. Everyone was, you know, after the departure of Bhaktisiddhanta, everyone is fighting, you know, for the material possessions that Bhaktisiddhanta had been able to manifest through his powerful preaching. So even though the Gaudiya Mat was going through legal disputes over lands and properties, most of the sannyasis had acquired a little temple somewhere, and this became their preaching grounds. The most prized possession from Bhaktisiddhanta was taken control of in 1948 by Tirtha Maharaj. So Srila Prabhupada didn't want to go out and try to do things without first having, you know, recognition and the approval of his godbrothers. So he wrote a letter to Bhakti Tirtha Maharaj in April 1959, and he inquired to Bhakti Tirtha Maharaj about taking sannyas, and also asked that if the Chaitanya Mat would print his manuscripts, and also that because no one else was volunteering to go to the West to preach, which was also in Bhaktisiddhanta's heart, Srila Prabhupada volunteered to do this also. But Bhakti Tirthava Maharaj, he was not favorable to Srila Prabhupada. He told Srila Prabhupada in his return correspondence, first, if you want, you have to come and join me. So he wanted Prabhupada to come join his mat and take his directions now from him. So we can see what all of Bhakti Tirthava Maharaj got him, a nice school across the street. And so his preaching potency had been, kind of squelched, because in some ways he was envious of Prabhupada's determination. So Prabhupada thought about this, and they offered to give Srila Prabhupada a room. He said, oh yes, we'll give you a nice room, it's nice and airy, and we'll take care of you, but first you have to do what I say. And then once you start to do what I say, then maybe later, somewhere in the future, we might print your books. But our concern now is that we want to print the books written by the six Goswamis, publish these books. These are more important, and yours are secondary. And as far as going to America, or going to the West to preach, first you have to make yourself established here in India and have a reputable foundation behind you, so that if you go, you have some credibility. So you can say, oh yes, I'm coming from the Gaudiya Math, I'm coming from the Catholic Church, I'm coming from here, so... In this way, Srila Prabhupada didn't agree with Bhakti Tirtha Maharaj's mandates for Srila Prabhupada. He says, what do I need a nice room in Calcutta? I have my rooms. Where did Prabhupada have his rooms? Huh? What's downtown where Rupa Goswami? Yes. And what does Prabhupada have there? Okay. So Srila Prabhupada said, why is there any need to go to Calcutta? I have my room here. I can do this translation work, all of my work here. But Bhakti Tirtha Maharaj says that, already several of your god brothers have taken sannyas, and maybe we could put you on the list. And somewhere in the future, if I see fit, then you can take sannyas also. So he was in one way trying to bribe Srila Prabhupada by giving him a room, by offering him, maybe there's a chance that we might let you go to the West to preach, and we may print your books. But Srila Prabhupada knew that Bhakti Tirtha Maharaj was also struggling to get money to even publish his own literatures. So he kind of gave up on that idea of even collaborating with Bhakti Tirtha Maharaj. So, because Bhakti Tirtha Maharaj says that if we want to print your books, first they will be edited by our editors, and things that we don't like we'll take out and we'll put in something else. Prabhupada, he didn't want this, and he wasn't at all encouraged by his communications with Bhakti Tirtha. So he gave up this notion to go. So his thoughts began to change. So without printing his books and going to the West, there wasn't really a big meaning of taking sannyas. So what did Srila Prabhupada do? What does it say here? I got this. Yeah, so again, in 1959, Tirtha Maharaj wrote back and says, "My suggestion is don't make any hasty decisions for the time being. You stay with us and engage yourself in the service of our society and then accept Tridanda Sannyas." So Srila Prabhupada, at this time, he could understand the need and the priorities of the Chaitanya Math, but he could not allow them to, mandate to him how he should carry out the instructions of his Guru Maharaj, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati. They had their own priorities, but Srila Prabhupada also had his priorities. So at this time, he turned to his god-brother, Keshava Maharaj. And he and Keshava Maharaj had a more friendly type of relationship. And his mutt is here in Mathura. Srila Prabhupada was living in Vrindavan. Srila Prabhupada would visit there quite regularly, and Srila Prabhupada even donated a deity to this mutt. Who knows what deity Srila Prabhupada donated? Mahaprabhu. Yes, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Srila Prabhupada donated this. So, Keshava Maharaj, he was insistent to Srila Prabhupada that now you must take sannyas. So others were discouraging him, but Keshava Maharaj was encouraging him. You take sannyas. And Srila Prabhupada said, "I was sitting alone in Vrindavan writing. My god brother insisted, Bhaktivedanta, you must do it. Without accepting the renounced order of life, nobody can become a preacher." So Keshava Maharaj insisted, and more importantly, his spiritual master was also insisting that he wanted Srila Prabhupada to take sannyas. Unwillingly, Srila Prabhupada accepted. Srila Prabhupada went to Keshavij Gaudiya Math, and this is located in downtown Mathura Bazaar. It's a very nice, simple temple. And Srila Prabhupada had regularly frequented this monastery to study, to help them with translations and such as this. And as I said, he even donated a deity of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. This deity standing erect with one hand raised in the air and the other at his side. And today you can see this deity that was donated by Srila Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada would go there, and what was Srila Prabhupada's name? Abbe Baba. He was known as Abbe Baba. So he would visit there and they, Abbe Baba, Abbe Baba, Abbe Baba. But on this day, he went into the temple. How was he dressed? He was dressed in yes. What does Grihastha wear? Purple? They wear white. He was dressed in white, and he was accustomed. And this was in September in 1959. And he entered into the temple in this dress of a baba, a white dhoti and kurta. And when he left, how did he leave? He left in the dress of a sannyasi, right? So, saffron as a swami. So Srila Prabhupada had already been a renunciate. So in reality, sannyas means to renounce everything and give it up. And he thought about all of the other sannyasis, you know. A lot of people, they take sannyasi, you know, willy-nilly. They take it for pratishta, they take it for different reasons. And the purpose of sannyas is to renounce and to give up your attachment to material life. And most especially sex life. But he, living in Vrindavan, saw so many sannyasis that their only business was, we can see them outside, all these sannyasis, give me money, begging for chapatis, such as this, and also, you know, trying to be deceptive and deceive innocent women into having sexual relations with this. So many of this bogus types of sannyasi. So no reason to put on a saffron cloth. I'm already renounced, but for this preaching purpose, I will become a sannyas. Because this type of sannyasi is a mockery to the sannyas society. So on the morning of September 17th, 1959, in the 50 by 25 foot deity room on the second floor of Keshavji Math, a group of devotees sat before the deities and of Lord Chaitanya. So gives a description of how beautiful the deities were, and they're quite attractive. And then also a description of the altar, how it's tiered with Lord Chaitanya and Radha Krishna, and on the second tier was the parampara. Who was in the parampara pictures? Just one? Okay, you got to remember these guys, you know? Because when you pray, how do your prayers go? They go from Srila Prabhupada to, and then from Bhaktisiddhanta to, and then from there, and then there, and there, and there, all the way to Krishna. Yes. So the reciprocants of all of these were there. And when Srila Prabhupada took sannyas, there was another gentleman, a devotee. His name was Sanatan. And he was elderly. He was 90 years old. And he also took sannyas on that day. So Narayan Maharaj, disciple of Keshava Maharaj, he performed the ceremony, offering of grains and such to the fire, and then Keshava Maharaj sat and officiated the ceremony. And then at the end, he gave a speech, and then he asked Srila Prabhupada to speak. So This was unexpected. Srila Prabhupada wasn't exactly ready to speak, but he knew that, yes, now I must speak, but how did he speak? He spoke in English. Yes, because this was the mission that he had been given by Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Goswami Maharaj to preach in English. So this very first lecture after taking sannyas, Srila Prabhupada delivered in English. And we've all seen the nice picture of Srila Prabhupada standing and Keshava Maharaj sitting, and Muni Maharaj was the other sannyas Saraswati who had taken sannyas. They're standing there, very grave, Srila Prabhupada's expression. And many times, once you take sannyas, your guru or your sannyas guru or even diksha guru, they might put some restrictions on you. But Keshava Maharaj just encouraged Srila Prabhupada to preach. And as we all know so well, that that he did, like no other devotee of Lord Krishna ever, Srila Prabhupada preached. And as a result of his determination to fulfill the wishes of his Guru Maharaj, everything that you are experiencing today, and hopefully everything that you will experience in the future, is simply mercy being given to you by Srila Prabhupada. So on this day, as we should on every day, remember the sacrifices that Srila Prabhupada had gone through so that we could be sitting here today in this beautiful temple with these beautiful deities hearing about such a magnificent person. So Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Everyone understand? Did he do the right thing?
Of course.
Right? Right. He did the right thing. Why? Because he listened. And he gave up his, you know, alternative desires to build a business. You know. So, what's the expression in Hindi? Nangyai nangyajana. Right? You know this? Nangyai nangyajana. It says you're born in this world empty-handed and you leave empty-handed. So all the efforts that you make to build a big empire for yourself, where is it at the time of this? It's gone. So Krishna takes it away. And that's the way, as many of you said, yes, Krishna has taken away everything. So who cares? Krishna has taken away everything, but what has he given you? He's given you the opportunity to live here in Vrindavan. So that's more valuable than any treasure. So remember these words of wisdom. So Hare Krishna.